Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyau from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-pro anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is writer-director Jay Arnold. I love Jay. I just love him so much. I know you love him. We're going to talk about art and politics. So before we get into it,
the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jay Arnold. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you for having me, Kimberly. It's always fun and games with Kimberly.
You know I love you. I just love you so much. You're so cute.
I love you too.
Okay, so I just want to say the last time you were here, you did talk about your documentary, and I know it's coming out this spring, so I want you to refresh our memories and just go over what it's about and when it's coming out.
Sure. The documentary is called Sergio Dandoli's Happy Life, which we filmed in Tuscany last year. It's a really beautiful story about a poor boy who had a dream. And, you know, through the journey of wanting to be a gelato maker, he stumbled upon biodynamic farming, which is similar to like the Amish. You know, nothing comes in from the outside.
Right.
And in the process of helping them develop the farming and using this extraordinary milk, it ultimately made him extremely famous and won him international acclaim. And it's a lovely story about love begets love, but it also speaks very clearly to the distinction between the way they eat, the respect they have for food in Europe versus the way we do here. And, you know, in Europe, they, or let's say Italy, they may eat 10 or 15% processed foods. In the United States, we eat 60 or 70% processed foods. And I don't know that I can make a direct correlation, but I think it's interesting that they have the second or third longest longevity and we're like number 49. So it is a little eye-opening. It's a lot of respect and love for the planet, for the climate, for the animals, for the food we put in our bodies, nutrition. But at the end of the day, it's a story about a gelato man that started as a poor boy and now serves 3,000 people every day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, out of a little itty-bitty body, probably in square footage, we would say 1,000 square feet.
Crazy. That's insane. Wow.
It is insane.
And, you know, first of all, I'm just going to say, because I do have another podcast about manifesting, and you and I are going to be talking about this on the other podcast, too. I don't know exactly when, not that long, but you manifested this whole thing. So, and 100%. It's funny because, you know, people who are entertainers, I have found, are, you know, really open to the idea of having some, I don't want to call it control, but like influence over what we see play out in our lives. And so you had this, I don't know your story yet, but I'm sure we're going to be getting into detail with it, because this, I'm so excited about, how we have more power than we really realize. It's not like we're waving magic wands and we're genies or anything like that. But, you know, it is about the power of our imagination and who we truly are. And so I can't wait to see this documentary. I was thinking when you were talking about it, that when I went to Europe, I was in Italy in 1996 and I was there for like 2 or 3 weeks, because I was 3 weeks vacation, but the last week was in Athens. Anyway, so I am allergic to dairy. And it makes me get, you know, I would get cystic acne all over my face. This is awful. And I realized this, and my mom and I took this trip to Italy in 96, and I ran out of my non-dairy creamer, and I started just having regular dairy. And I did come back. I mean, I was fine while I was in Europe. And then when I came back to the States, I could eat dairy for like a month. And then I started breaking out again. And I'm just wondering if maybe, you know, we have all these hormones and the way that we raise our animals or keep them in these just basically prisons. I don't know if that has an effect.
That is exactly his story. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the crux of the story. And yes, 100%, our milk is literally pulled apart every single vitamin, mineral, fat, everything, and reconstituted.
Yeah.
And so in Italy, that's not the case. They receive raw milk, but they pasteurize it at a much lower temperature, which kills bacteria, but maintains, you know, the natural nutrition in the milk. And it's also just, they're not fed antibiotics and food that makes them get bigger udders to produce more milk, like machines.
Right.
So, yes, it very much, I think, would have to do with that.
Yeah.
That's Sergio's contention.
That's so interesting, because I read somewhere that it was the testosterone. I think I read that it was like the testosterone in the cows that were causes certain people, because a lot of people have an allergy. Some people have like a upset stomach thing, but that's not what I experienced. I mean, I would I remember when I was in my acting class and I was already breaking out, but I was like hiding it with makeup, and I would say mild to moderate. I never had anything severe, but this one particular night, and so my acting coach didn't know I had acne, because I could cover it up pretty well, and unless you were just really close to me. So anyway, I had gone out and had dinner the night before, and it was all just everything was dairy. And then like a day later, my face was flaming. It was just broken out. And so I had covered it up as best I could with makeup. And I went to pay him, my monthly dues for the acting class. And I was right by him. And I was signing my check. And He said in front of every, he wasn't being a jerk. He just never realized I had acne. And he said in front of the whole class, he's like, what's wrong with your face?
Oh, Lord.
And I was so upset. Wow. And then like my best friend like screamed at him in private. My mother called him and she's like, Wayne. And so he didn't know. He wasn't being a jerk. Right. He just thought something was wrong with me. So anyway,
well,
yeah.
A separate little point of note is that in Italy, what they call fruit gelato is sorbet. Mm-hmm. Oh. There is no dairy in sorbet.
Right.
And that is sold as fruit gelato in Italy. Huh. So if you go to any gelateria and you get any kind of fruit gelato, there's no dairy at all.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's see. Well, I mean,
I want to just say one thing about, sure. Just to close the loop. With respect to, power and manifestation and all that jazz, I very much believe that, it's our universe and it is the way we say it is, And yeah. I think that people don't realize that they wake up and it's, and they're like, oh, it looks dark out. It's going to be a nasty day.
Right.
I'm going to have a crappy day. Well, you have a crappy day. You just said that.
Exactly.
And so I think a lot of this is subconscious because I think we don't recognize the power we have.
That's so true. And I'll just be real quick and say,
not going to be real quick.
We're never really quick, are we?
Yeah.
But there's this thing, and this is not manifestation. This is science. Yes. It's called the reticular activating system. And so like, for instance, when I was looking for a new car, I'm not going to talk about the kind of car I bought. So let's just say I was going to get a Honda. Mm-hmm. So I noticed, I was looking at a Honda, and then when I went out on the road, and this happens to everyone, I started seeing all the Hondas. Of course. Now, the Hondas were always there, but reticular activating system shuts out things that we're not, focusing on in our life. So when we focus, so what I'm doing every single day, especially during, oh my God, this administration, I don't even want to call it that. They are just criminals. It's a corrupt crime. They're just all criminals creating fucking chaos everywhere we go. But 100%. Okay, so the first 6 weeks, I had a knot in my stomach. I don't know. I was lucky that for some reason, everything kind of changed over for me on Thanksgiving and I stopped feeling sick every single day. And it was actually, I've been studying all this manifesting stuff for 5 years. I've dipped into it my whole life, but I really, really, really honed in on it in the end of 2019. And I was always wanting to do a documentary or something where you put together what I've learned in manifesting, and that's all over the internet, with what people say when they've had near-death experiences and what they say about who we are and what we can do. And so anyway, the election, I was like, fuck a documentary. I'm just going to do a Substack. And so, because I just, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I don't have money to back a documentary and all that stuff. So anyway, that's one of the things that I was learning about is the reticular activating system. So one of the ways that I apply it with my manifesting is I focus on every day, because I have a tendency when I wake up in the morning, I think I don't even look at my phone. I used to, but I don't look at my phone in the middle of the night. I don't look at my phone in the morning. I first focus on feeling good, because I kind of wake up with a little bit of dread, and I think that's kind of my subconscious, and it's my ego, it's the fear, and so I remind myself of abundance, and I don't mean money. I'm talking about whether it's good to recognize your abundance and put the focus on it, whether that's abundance of warmth, abundance of food, abundance of water, abundance of love, support, whatever it is you have in your life. Even if it's the summertime and you're looking out and there's tons of leaves on the trees, there's an abundance of leaves. Yes, there's an abundance of everything. And so when you start putting your focus on what's abundant and what you are genuinely grateful for, instead of focusing on the things that scare you, and make you feel insecure or miserable when you don't have to, because sometimes, we got to focus on certain things. We've got to put our focus on paying bills and this and that. But once everything is taken care of and there's nothing for you to do, there's no point in affirming all of the things that are upsetting to you. And we do that a lot. So I like to put my focus on abundance and gratitude, because what happens is
gratitude is huge. Gratitude is me. What you just said is not only do I do that with gratitude, I was literally told by someone who shall remain nameless because they will kill me to stop using the hashtag gratitude on frigging everything because it's just like doesn't fit everywhere. Well, it does for me.
Right.
But I did take that from a very noteworthy individual. And I don't, but back anyone that knows me from Twitter days knows that almost every single tweet I had for a decade ended with a hashtag gratitude, because that's really, for me, I'll just say briefly that years ago, there were a very expensive set of sheets that I wanted. And I went back and forth because I couldn't really justify the price. I'm like, oh, they're beautiful. They feel so good. And at some point, I broke down and I bought them. Mm-hmm. And I have them to this day.
Wow.
And when I get in bed at night, I use the feeling of these unbelievable sheets to remind me of how grateful I am and the things I'm grateful for.
Right. And the more you put your focus on those things, the more you start noticing it, because it is the reticular. And that's the science part.
That's the Honda analogy. Exactly. 100%.
You keep just seeing more of it. And it doesn't mean that we are going to not have the choppy waters. It doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times. But it's all about how we perceive those hard times. So, you know, I mean, it's just, it's just all really, you know, I mean, I love the woo-woo side. I love the spiritual side. But I think when we... it's really just like practical. And if you talk to a therapist, they'll tell you it's where you're putting your focus. You don't have to focus, especially on the things A, you can't control, and B, haven't happened. Like, people think, oh, affirming's dumb, but people affirm every day. You know, they're always affirming.
Well, listen, TM was an attempt at reducing some of this to a process, right?
What's TM? Oh, transcendental meditation.
Yeah,
right.
Which was like, here are the steps, right?
Yeah.
You think, you close your eyes, you have a word, you know, to take us out of our head.
Yeah.
Because our heads. And allow us to not focus on the things that immediately come up that are like stimulus response.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't want to, you know, in 20 more minutes, we'll have done this entire
I know.
On the topic we said we weren't going to do.
I know. I do this at every time. But I think it's important because there are so many people who are afraid. And I'm one of them. I mean, every single day we're looking at the news and it's very upsetting and it's stomach churning. And so, you know, this has been a way that I cope. And I like to talk about self-care, because whether it's therapy, you know, if you're going and talking to a therapist, if you're, you know, somebody who likes to go out in nature and that's your therapy, it's just a way to take care of yourself in this unbelievable time. Okay, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. If you're not already a patron, please consider becoming one at patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and become my patron today. I thank you in advance. Before we start talking about politics, I do just want to ask you, what's the weather where you are? Because I know we're heading into snowy days here. So, like, is it freezing where you are? And you're in Philly,
right? It's cold right now. There's a lot of... like overcast.
Yeah, me too.
It feels like snow. And of course, since I'm going to New York for the weekend, they will be getting a half a foot of snow.
Now,
I thought to myself all week, we're gonna see a play, do this, that. Aww. I thought, oh, what am I gonna wear? What am I gonna do? Now I'm just gonna go like in snowshoes and say, you know, I mean, what can I do, right? Because, you know, shoes, of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the timing.
The timing, of course. Well, if I were traveling,
where
I would
is it
be
by
irritated.
You?
Yeah, it's the same, just as you've described. In fact, today, it was funny because it rained all night last night, and then I've never seen this, but, you know, there's no leaves on the trees, so all the water froze. So the trees are just filled with, like, ice, and it's beautiful. Yeah. It is so beautiful. I'm glad I don't have to be out in it. So I'm sorry for everybody who has to commute in this crap, but as somebody who gets to work from home and look out my window... it's like, wow. And see, that's how I feel about the snow. I don't necessarily want to go out in it, but I get all excited for the snow days.
Excited for the snow. Look, you know, when I was a kid, we had snow drifts that I could see through like the glass den sliding doors were higher than me. It was dark.
Yeah.
You couldn't see. right? I don't remember. I think about a decade or so ago, we had a really big snow, but I don't remember anything significant in the last decade or so.
No, not really. Not really. No. It's just been, you know, climate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a big, heavy question.
Sure.
So, let's see.
Yeah,
where.
I'm gay.
Yep, I'm gay. All right. Okay, so I want to get into the nitty gritty, and I want to get into Musk. And this is a big lead up, and I'm just going to ask you where you think we are. But just to go over everything, I mean, we've got these tween kind of tech bros who now have access to Social Security, Medicare, I don't know, whatever else they have access to. It's a hostile takeover. And I don't like Bill Maher, but he was saying for years that we were in the process of a slow-moving coup. Now, the coup is like it's a fire hose of coup. And so I don't know if you know him, but his name is Justin Rosario. He has a Substack called Opinionated Ogre, and he wrote, "The left is getting violently angry. The billionaire fascist should be very afraid." So he, you know, in this Substack, he just talks about what he's seeing out there, and he's just making his case. So I want to go back to Luigi Mangione, who shot that healthcare billionaire, and I saw a lot of people, you know, kind of cheering him on and talking about how cute he was and this and that. And it pissed me off because I feel like we shouldn't be cheering on vigilantism. And I never will. Yet, I'm looking at what's happening and I'm seeing, you know, when you start fucking around with people's lives and with their livelihoods, you can expect violence. And that's history. So I'm just wondering, like, what are you thinking where we are?
Well, I think first I want to just address Luigi. And I think Luigi is demonstrative of how deeply passionate people are about healthcare.
Yes.
And their when their fear of stripping away healthcare or literally being screwed by an insurance company when you have a loved one that's sick and cannot get the care they need because it's more cost efficient to just let them go. Certainly Luigi is demonstrative of how powerful the pain and anger exists today.
Yes, 100%.
And I think I'm with you. Look, I understand that coming from the place of anger and unjustness, or however you would say the unfair practices of our insurance companies, I get why people were cheering him on. That said, it's never okay to cheer on a murderer, you know? And so I think it's a very difficult place for people to be because emotionally they relate to how he felt, and he's in ways he spoke for people, you know, not his actions necessarily killing someone, but the extent to which he was motivated in pain, crazy, you know, just, you know, incredibly hurt and angry.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel it, get it, and therefore sympathize with that. And so it's a situation where, you know, it's a very difficult situation to have a ethical conversation about because there's so much emotion involved.
Well, yeah. And I mean, when I see people, I mean, the thing is like everything you said, I agree with.
One thing I got to, I don't mean to step on you, but I know I'm going to forget this.
Okay.
The thing that really angers me about the Luigi situation, which has other implications, of course, is we know every single thing about Luigi. The guy, the kid that they shot, that supposedly attempted the life of a assassination of a president, we don't know anything about.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there you
go.
So
something's desperately wrong there.
There is. And I mean, look, what Luigi did, everything you said, 100% I agree with. And what bothered me is I would see people, I'm not going to name names, but there were some big Facebook pages that were making him out to be a hero and saying how hot he was. And it's like, you know, I mean, we were yelling at everybody for putting Kyle Rittenhouse in hero status, and then we go to do it with Luigi. And I get it. I understand. You know, there was a conversation that emerged from that death that I think is important. And then, you know, even though we were having it, but not in the way we were having it after that death. But yes, still,
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, that's human nature. So yeah, what I'm talking about right here isn't me saying I advocate it, I don't advocate it. I'm just recognizing that when humans are oppressed, when they feel like they're caged, cornered, oppressed, all of that, they're going to fight back. It's going to be violent. So Justin Rosario is basically saying, you know, hey, there is a potential here for some real violent outcomes. With Elon Musk going in and fucking around with our social security and fucking, you know, and I don't know.
I don't even know how we got to this point. Honest to God. I get the Trump point. Okay. Uh-huh. I get how we got to Trump, although I don't want to get into a whole conspiracy issue and all that stuff, but having in broad daylight, someone who is an unelected official, take a bunch of kid hackers into our personal data because, you know, it's not about the money. The data is worth more than the money.
Yeah.
Our data. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have a very close friend who would be a very good person to have on here. I think her handle on Blue Sky is Smolder Blue, but she's an attorney whose career has been dedicated to compliancy.
Right.
That companies literally would lose their business if they would disclose just the tiniest bit of HIPAA or any kind of confidential information. And now we're standing, I mean, look, you know, we are literally standing around watching him steal everything. Mm-hmm. And so yesterday, they said they're going to restrict it. What do you think? In 5 days, hackers haven't gotten everything they want already? I mean, it's outrageous. I think they should all be in prison this very minute. Every one of those kids and Elon Musk.
Yeah. And that here, that's the thing. Because days after the election, the Russian news agency came out and basically said, all right, we helped you, Donald. It's your turn to help us.
Yeah, RT.
So, yeah, so they're supposed to be, you know, the Russians are, Putin, I should say, is expecting Donald to return the favor. And then, of course, we heard reports that Musk was meeting with Putin. I don't know if it was before or after the election, but it doesn't really matter. And so, you know, this is what the Russians do. The Russians take taxpayers' money and just take it for themselves. Now, as you're talking about, you know, the data mining, there's money there too. There's all kinds of power and money, whatever Elon is going to do with any of this shit. It's just fucking unbelievable. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he can even go to jail for this because the fascists are controlling everything right now. Everything.
Right. And what he did was, he quickly and systematically removed everyone in every department that could hold him accountable,
which is what the Nazis did.
And so what this really tells us is the only checks and balances we really have at this point are the judiciary and the fact that there are 350 or 400 Democratic judges and 250 Republicans, which of course he'll fill that bucket right away. But it tells us how, you know, the presidency and the party that is the majority has this far-reaching responsibility to keep the courts fair.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we did not have these judges that have tried to stop him all along the way, which were almost exclusively Democratic judges, we would really be screwed. Worse than we are.
No shit. So let me ask you this. I mean, there are kind of two ways of thinking. Some people are like, that's it. We're done. We're toast. There's never going to be a fair election again. Then there's the group of people who think, and then I will say about the 2026 election, the midterms, I would assume that, I mean, I've always said this, they cheat in every election. And, you know, mostly they cheat legally with suppression and all that stuff. But I think the attention is mostly put on the presidential when it comes to big cheating. So I think that there is a chance that we can see legitimate elections in 2026. But do you feel that we've got the hope for legitimate elections?
I think we do. And I also think that I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, but my personal view is that I believe 100% they cheated. These are two men whose whole lives have been built on cheating.
Right.
To think when both of them had prison, right, at risk, both of them, how would they not use every resource possible? How was Elon Musk reporting out Pennsylvania hours in advance when we had all kinds of problems here? And how could the five swing states just a hair over the majority, the number for recount, and all the down ballots were Democrats? This just everything about it. In addition to Trump saying twice because they rigged the election, because they rigged the election, I think Schooley, somebody had that out there today. As I posted those videos too. And I think that my personal view is that there was 100% manipulation. And I think that I don't think people are throwing in the towel. I think people are mad. I think people are a lot of people are I don't want to say they're throwing in their hat, but they just feel like, you know, I think those things will fade. I think ultimately that people are going to say, we're going to be sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, obviously the Democrats have to run, because we have to overcome the Electoral College, which is basically, you know, catering right now, specifically because of the laws, the voter suppression laws and all of that, and the Supreme Court gutting the Voting Rights Act, all of that. We have, unfortunately, it's just been the case that Democrats or liberals have to vote in numbers big enough to overcome that. And I do think that they, you know, I mean, Greg Palast did this whole thing with receipts talking about the legal cheating that they did with suppression, and just take that out of the equation, she would have gotten 286 electoral. So and then, you know, there was also all those bomb threats that you know,
we had 20 here.
Yeah. So there was that, and we don't know exactly what happened there. So add in what you're saying to all of the legal suppression. But I think that we need, you know, I will maintain that I think Joe Biden was able to beat Trump in 2020 because he was a white man who everybody, you know, I think the difference in 2020 was independents who are right leaning and then never Trumpers. They voted for Joe. I don't, you know, I mean, I know that there were, I think it was Tom Bonnier, and I've talked about this on the show before, but Tom Bonnier did a thing. I think it was Pennsylvania and it might have been North Carolina, but the Democratic registrations were down by a significant number and the Republicans were up by a significant number. So like, I think Democrats were down by over 100%. And then I don't know if it's percent enough. I'm getting this right, but I know it was like 200% where Republican registrations were up. So I think that because we had a black woman, I hate saying this, but I think there were certain, you know, we throw in Gaza, you throw in a number of different things, and we weren't able to overcome it like Joe Biden was, because he was grandfather white man. And I hate saying that because, and I'll continue to say I hate saying that because I'm very feminist and I thought Kamala Harris was fucking incredible. I mean, I'm every single day I wake up and like want to cry because she's not the president.
We should just be honest and say the problem is that we're a racist nation.
We're a very
and
racist
anyone,
nation.
Anyone that says they're not racist is a liar or fooling themselves, because everything we've learned in our lives, everything has been completely embedded in racism. I mean, when I was a kid, they would have like Courtship of Eddie's Father, and the housekeeper was Asian. She had to have like a chopstick in her hair, and before she came on, they would play the music. Here comes the Asian lady.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so it's are there very varying degrees to which we have become woke, which we, or you know, that we have overcome you know, in within ourselves, oh, wow, this is wrong. This is bad. I don't want to do this. I don't want to say that. But we are everything we taught and everything we've seen all of our lives has racism baked in it. So I think Trump giving giving racists a hall pass, it did not make it was always there, but he gave them permission.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Totally.
And so they say DEI, they might as well use the N-word. That's what they're saying.
Exactly. That's how it is. And, you know, it's interesting. Bob and I are watching, it's on HBO Max, and it's called History of the Sitcom or something like that. Uh-huh. And so the woman, I'm not sure if it's Marta Kaufman. I don't know if that's the right person.
Yeah, it's probably Marta Kaufman, yeah.
She was talking.
From Friends, yeah.
Yes, and she was talking about, you know, the whole cast was white. And she said, you know, that she wasn't making excuses for the fact that the whole cast was white, but she was basically saying, I was doing what I knew. And she's like, I see it now. I just see how everybody was white. And the interesting thing is, you know, Living Single came out first. It was kind of like the first Friends, but it was on Fox, where Friends was on NBC. And I started watching Living Single in reruns, and I loved that show. And it never even occurred to me, oh, this was the original Friends, but it totally was. And so it just goes along with exactly what you're saying.
Right. Well, I get that. And it's interesting because in the prior film, I Made Shoulder Dance, originally in the script, there's four ensemble players, and the character of Lily she was black.
Mm-hmm.
She was based loosely on someone I knew, a friend of mine. And when we went to do the casting, casting agents and others said, I don't think you can. There were some drugs involved and some other, you know, things. And they said, you can't, how are you going to, it's such a terrible stereotype. How are you going to say the only black character brings the drug, like you can't do that.
Right.
And so last cast in, right? And so I was kind of, I thought, do I have to rewrite anything? No, of course not. What's that have to do with anything, you know? But I did understand that we did not want to we didn't want to give any cred to that, you know, crappy stereotype. So we didn't do that.
Right.
Now I get criticisms for having it be too white.
Right.
Wow, that's really a white film. Honestly. And I said, what do you mean? Samuel's, no, he's only half Mexican. I'm like, oh my Lord, you know? So I understand.
Right. Well,
and I'm Mark's age too. I'm 67. You know, we're from the same generation.
Right. Well, and you're right though, because we are raised with all kinds of prejudices and often we don't even know it or think about it. And I think, you know, where we are right now, I think it's a lot of us are trying to recognize that within ourselves and say, okay, where have I taken things for granted? Or when I have, you know, like for instance, there's a woman who lives next door to me. And I've told this on my show before, but, you know, I saw her a day or two after the election. I had never seen her before. She had just moved in, and she's a black woman. And I did not expect any of this. But I saw her, and I just started crying, and I apologized. And she came over, and she gave me a hug. And then after all, she's such a sweetheart, and we're friends. But after all was said and done, I thought, you know, it's not – here she was consoling me, and it's not her responsibility – as a black woman to console the crying white woman,
white woman because she feels bad about it.
Right. And it was like, I apologize because she is a black woman and a black woman just lost the presidency because of fucking to a rapist. And, and it was like, I'm sorry.
And a convicted felon.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm a white woman, so I'm not a white man who's wealthy. I'm not at the very top of the tier, but it's like, as a white woman, there are things that I'm afraid of. But obviously, if you're a black woman, you're under more threat. And so I recognize that. And that's where I was coming from. And I just, for the first several days, I kept walking around. And I live in an area with a lot, it's a pretty large black population. And I just would look at everybody and I wanted to go up and apologize. And I wanted, and just like I would see white people. And I live in a pretty liberal state, right? Maryland's a blue state. but right. I don't, you never know. And I feel like I look at the white people, I'm like, did you vote for him? And I know there are other groups that, whether it's Latin men voted for Trump and, you know, certain numbers or whatnot. But still, mm-hmm. I look at white people and I just, you know, and I shouldn't judge. I shouldn't mm-hmm. make assumptions. And I'm not doing it like I did. But it's like, I still to a degree look around and I think, did you vote for him? Do people think I voted for him because I'm white?
No, but I mean, I think, you know, once you get to the point of awareness, right? Oh my God, you know, what have I been doing? How have I, once you get to that point, then we can begin to evolve like an onion, right? We can begin to peel those layers off. There was an old conversation from years ago that Werner Erhard did that was called, I Used to Be Different, Now I'm the Same. And it was about how every one of us is born naturally loving, unprejudiced being, but that our whole lives is about piling all that on top of us so that any kind of transformation or anything we look to do to improve ourselves later in life is peeling off all mm-hmm. the stuff that got, you know, that got piled on us. I'm not trying to, you know, make an excuse for it, right? Because we're, you know, everyone, I'm ultimately responsible for everything in my universe, and I get that. Mm-hmm. That said, the concept of that was that, you know, any kind of transformative psychology, anything we're doing is just removing the layers that we've picked up from culture and life along the way. Right. And what we're trying to do is remove that, you know. So once there's awareness, I think we see it within ourselves, or we do something, or we see something, and that's demonstrative. We can then begin to look inside and understand what we've done and how we can love each other more freely and appropriately for the rest of our lives.
Indeed. And that's beautiful. And I know that you've got to go. So before you go, though, and that was beautiful. And it's nice to end on a positive note. But I just want to ask you, what do we have to be hopeful for in your eyes right now?
Wow. For you, but this is like, I feel like I'm that Miss America question, you know? At least you're not asking me about a map.
I personally believe.
I think that... I think what we're doing right now is we're witnessing the deconstruction of a broken government.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes deconstruction has to happen mm-hmm. before we can recreate. You know, there's this old expression, you know, you can't create something from something. You've got to create something from nothing.
Yeah.
And so I think what we have to look forward to is that I believe that innately human beings are good, mm-hmm. you know, not all, you know, I don't want to get into that, but I do think that love wins at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I do think that this is deconstruction and we're witnessing it, and it's painful mm-hmm. and it's horrible, but I think it's what it's going to take for us to stand up and build a more fitting, workable government, more youthful, interested, engaged government than we've had before. So I think we have to look at Mac, look at Frost, look at AOC, look at these young people that are just, you know, makes me cry, mm-hmm. you know, that they're fighting. Malcolm Kenyatta from Philadelphia mm-hmm. has been here forever, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got an opportunity. He's got a voice now, you know. Mm-hmm. So some of these really, Jasmine Crockett.
She's amazing, cry, man. Yeah.
These are just really, really, we have an opportunity that people that are enlightened and younger and understand the reality can be our leaders for the future.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yes, I love all of them, and I love you, and I love talking to you, and I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But so I look forward to having you on my secret podcast about manifesting and all that spiritual stuff. But
I'm excited for it.
It's always good talking to you, and tell us all where to find you.
You can find me, I'll be honest, right now, Blue Sky is where you can find me.
Okay.
But my handle on all social media is my full name, J. Farrell Arnold. F-A-R-R-E-L-L, just like Pharrell, but with an F.
Okay.
And also on my website, Under films, there are trailers of Sergio Dandolfi's Happy Life for anyone that would like to see it.
Perfect. And I have both links in the show notes. So go check out awesome. Jay. And it's always a pleasure talking to you. And we will talk soon.
I adore you. Thank you for bringing up the topics that are not always easy and but ultimately make a difference. Yes. I love you for that.
I love you too. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance or don't understand the differences between insurance plans or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in-depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.
Fall in love with low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy green, red, or black seedless grapes for $1.88 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.